We're now bringing to these microphones David James for our weekly conversation together when David and I discuss an issue that the body of Christ needs to understand from a political perspective, but basically, more important, a biblical perspective. And we bring these issues to your attention so that you might be able to learn. This week, we're going to be talking about an Iowa law that is prohibiting churches from discriminating against the LGBT during public services. We'll get to that in just a moment. But David, you sent me an email before we went on the air. You mentioned that with the naming of the presumptive Republican candidate Donald Trump as his vice presidential candidate, Mike Spence, who is the governor now of Indiana, and I understand, did you say correctly, he's from your hometown there in Indiana?
That's right. Mike Pence is, he's a year younger than I am. I think he must have gone to the other high school in town, but he's from Columbus, Indiana, so he's a lifelong Hoosier. He's a constitutional conservative. By all accounts, he's a born-again evangelical, conservative in his views, and to be honest, I think he's going to bring a quiet and steady voice and a good balance to this ticket.
Well, he indeed was a member of the United States Congress, was he not, before he ran for governor, which also gives him insight into how to deal with the Congress at the White House.
That's right. He has a long history in a number of things, including Congress and then governor, and done a great job here in Indiana as a governor. And also, he had even had a talk radio program in my hometown for a number of years, and I think it aired statewide. So he has background in public relations, communications, the inner workings of Washington. So I think he brings a lot.
I like to hear the fact that he's an evangelical Christian and believes in the principles found in God's Word. And that kind of gives me a segue opportunity into your kind of information that you brought to the table through your research and our conversation today. Last week, Christianity Today, the magazine, you sent me a copy of it, reported on a lawsuit that was filed by two churches in Iowa concerning a law that seems to directly conflict with freedom of religion. Talk to me about it.
Well, that's right. There's a new interpretation of Iowa's Civil Rights Act, one of the provisions, and it prohibits, according to this article, prohibits Christians from making gay or transgender people feel unwelcome in a church service or in a church setting, and also from restricting church bathroom use to a person's biological gender. So the upshot of this is if somebody claims that they have a different gender identity than what is on their birth certificate, than what is their biological gender, then the church would have to make accommodations for that, which means ultimately that men could be going into girls' wet restrooms, even within the church. And it also extends beyond that in terms of implications.
Well, in fact, then, would that not mean that this law is going to be interpreted and it's going to apply not only to the public services, but would this not affect every activity in the church that they do today?
Well, of course, and you know that's the whole issue, because you know it seems to indicate that there's a drastic lack of understanding in government about how churches actually work. Except for perhaps a closed business meeting, churches by definition have all of their services open to the public. That you would think that the government has the idea that only a select group, maybe members of the church, official members of the church, can attend, but actually all church services, and that would be across all denominations, Catholic, Protestant, they are by definition open to the public. So that certainly goes to the heart of everything that churches do. And beyond that, it's not a new law. It goes back to 2007, an amendment that was added. But the fact is, there's a new interpretation of that law, which talks about the fact that even those who, for example, one of the provisions says a child care facility operated at a church or a church service open to the public would be subject to the regulations of this law.
Boy, this is really concerning. And although this simply is now involving Iowa, doesn't this have the potential of eventually affecting every state in the union with these types of restrictions?
Well, it absolutely does. I think the fact that they filed a federal lawsuit gives clear indication of that, because that means that whatever happens, law and judges in various states, law is decided on precedent. And precedents are set not only within a state, but across states as well. And then when you get to the federal level, being a federal lawsuit, if this goes into a federal appeals court and then ultimately is struck down or gets tied up in that way, it could ultimately end up at the Supreme Court. So we're talking about this having national implications. It goes far beyond what might happen in Iowa.
I tell you what, it seems that we're seeing the frequency of this type of hostility toward Christianity increasing. Last year, in fact, to show how this is expanding, there was an attempt in Houston, Texas, to pass an anti-discrimination law that would have allowed transgender men to enter women's restrooms and locker rooms. Am I correct on that?
Well, that's true. Fortunately, it was struck down, but it was only by a 3-2 margin, so it was very close. So the Houston voters rejected this law. This was in November of last year, that it would have extended protections for the LGBT residents, and this would have had to do with any organization or business would have required that they allow men to have access, and this would include, obviously, sexual predators who want to take advantage of this, giving men access to women's restrooms in public, and not just restrooms. You know, as we talked about earlier, this goes beyond restrooms. It goes to locker rooms as well. So this has moral, ethical, legal issues at the heart of it, even constitutional issues when it comes to the freedom of religion.
Now, we were talking about Houston. Let me just see if I can remember correctly. Was that not the location where the mayor subpoenaed the sermons of pastors who opposed the bill?
Well, that's actually true. The mayor, a woman named Anise Parker, is a gay mayor of Houston. She did attempt to subpoena sermons by pastors who attempted to create a petition to dismiss this law, or they tried to get it put to a popular vote. So this has a chilling effect on not only freedom of religion, but freedom of speech, and also the free practice of religion and the right to freely hold sincerely held religious beliefs.
Wow. You sent me another article, David, from Christianity Today that was issued last week that was focused on a supposed anti-discrimination legislation that's trying to be passed in California that actually would directly affect many Christian colleges in that state, but then could directly affect all the Christian colleges across America. Am I right?
Well, again, yes, you're exactly right. It's possible that later this year that Jerry Brown, the governor of California, will sign it a legislation which could have direct and harmful repercussions for that state's Christian colleges. The point of the bill is to prevent colleges from receiving state funds if they attempt to enforce codes of student conduct that reflect the college's religious beliefs about sexual identity and confining marriage to male-female relationships. So the point is this, that if a Christian college attempts to have a standard of conduct and they do take a position on marriage, which they should be able to do as a matter of freedom of religion, they are going to be pressured by the possibility of eliminating all state and federal funding, which means that students who are in dire financial circumstances, they may be prevented from obtaining a Christian education. Once again, it is almost a big brother stepping in and bringing laws and legislation to bear, not only in California. Again, once these things get a foothold, states begin to fall like dominoes, and then it becomes a national issue.
You know, as I listen to you giving us this information, I realize that this is more than an effort by the LGBT activists to push simply for equal treatment under the law. Not only do they want extraordinary treatment under that law, but their ultimate goal seems to be the transformation of society and the culture.
That's right. Now, remember last year when the Supreme Court struck down the ability of states to deny marriage certificates to gay couples, there was an article came out in response by several gay writers, and they said that their ultimate goal was to disestablish the idea of marriage as a legal category. So they're not looking for equal treatment. They are looking to abolish marriage as a legal category so that it's not just for homosexuals to be, but it's to strike it down as far as heterosexuals, and therefore that dissolves the nuclear family, and they are, and this strikes at the core of fundamental religious beliefs and biblical beliefs, and this is a worldwide movement.
You know, unfortunately, it looks like LGBT is seemingly becoming successful, not only in the world, but actually in the church as well. Another sign of the times, isn't it, David?
Well, that's true, and we read in several passages of Scripture that as we are in the last days that there will be radical changes, that there will be departures from the faith, that the love of many will grow cold, and that would include love for the Lord and His Word. And there's a growing segment even within the evangelical church that is more and more accepting, especially among the new generation, the so-called millennials. They are, I think it's somewhere around at least a 50% margin of millennial evangelicals who would be accepting of the gay lifestyle as being compatible with a biblical worldview.
Well, we need to have these conversations so we can help those eavesdropping on the conversation develop a biblical worldview. That is key. And we have a battle on right this moment. David, thank you so very much for your research, your insight into what's going on as it relates to a religious liberty across this nation and, in fact, around the world. And this is so helpful. We'll have another conversation along these lines next week. Thank you, David.
Thanks, Jimmy. Good to be with you.